congregation, with the key theme for our cadets and gems this year being work in progress, and the key text being Philippians 1 verse 6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion till the day of Christ Jesus, would have made sense for us to open up this text this morning, wouldn't it? But then Pastor John began his new series in Philippians just a few weeks ago, and he preached on this very text just a few weeks back. I suppose we could have looked at it anyway. There's so much to reflect on in any text. After all, the Bible's inexhaustible, as well as God being indescribable, and two preachers can take the same text and end up with very different sermons, because there's so much that we can think about from the Word of God, different things to emphasize, different applications to draw. And so I could have taken this text this morning, perhaps I could have given the cadets and gems a little quiz on Pastor John's sermon. Maybe I should quiz their parents. Now you're not laughing anymore. But no, I don't want to do that to you this morning. So I want us to come at the same theme, work in progress, but from a little bit of a different angle. Reflect on the work of the Spirit in our lives as well, at this time, as we especially remember Pentecost Sunday. Work in progress. If you've got work in progress, that means that you've started something, doesn't it? Work in progress isn't something that you plan to do next school holidays. Work in progress means you've begun already. Perhaps you've started training your dog. It's not finished yet, but you've started. Of course it hasn't finished yet. If it had finished, it wouldn't be work in progress. It'd be something else, wouldn't it? It'd be work completed. But you've begun. It's something that you have begun, something that's in progress, something that you're working on. And here in our text this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we see that God has a project as well. God's not training a dog or learning to play the trumpet or any other sort of project that you or I might be doing. God isn't working on a badge. He's not working on finishing building the campsite. That too is a work in progress out at Hollenberg's farm. Some of you might be doing next weekend at the Cadet and Gem Camp. But God does have a project, and it's a project he started but not yet finished. And the project is you guys. Not just you guys, but you all of us here. We are God's project. Devlin's God's project. Arwen's God's project. We've got lots of projects going on. Tim is a project of God. Mikey is part of God's project. God has a big project going on that involves all of us, from the youngest to the smallest. Creation in progress. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Here's the first thing we see here in our text, and that is that Christ transforms us. Therefore, Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. What do you think Paul means when he says, he speaks about new creation? Well, if you speak about something being new, it only makes sense, doesn't it, that there's something old as well, isn't there? If there's something new, a new creation, then there has to be an old creation as well. So what's this old creation? The old creation, that's the world as we know it now. A good world that God made, and yet also a broken world, as we read before in Genesis 3, because we broke the rules and did our own thing. And so there's now what we call sin in the world. There's brokenness in the world. We live in a world in which other people get into fights with us, or maybe we start the fights. We live in a world where we get called names, a world in which we get sick. And all of those sorts of things are signs that we're living in an old creation, an old world. It's going to be like that forever. Put up your hands if you think God's going to change things. I reckon everybody's... Do the rest of you not think God's going to change things? Everyone's hand should be up, because when Jesus comes back, there's going to be a new world. And the Bible calls that the new heavens and the new earth, the new creation, a world without sin, without crying, without mourning, without pain, without tears, without sorrow, without death. Perhaps that new world is a long time still before it comes. Perhaps it's going to be very short. We don't know. We don't have a deadline. It's something that God is going to do when Jesus comes back. But whether it's a long time away or whether it's something that's going to happen really shortly, God has already started his new creation project. It's a work in progress. And how has he done that? Well, we see that God has begun that new creation in us. How does that project that God's doing begin? Well, it begins when the love of Jesus finds a place, finds a home in our hearts. And when does that happen? Well, that happens when we believe in Jesus. When we believe in Jesus, God starts cleaning things up in our lives. How many of you this morning have got a messy room? Lots of hands, and it's not just the cadets and gems. I see some counsellors putting their hands up, or at least one counsellor. I put up my own hand up, I think, as well. Except that while I was in Perth, my wife very nicely tidied it all up. Can't find things anymore, it's too tidy. But what God's doing is even more than tidying up a messy room. When God gets to work in our lives, he totally transforms things. And yes, the mess gets tidied up, but God wants to do more. God just doesn't want to take the old carpet that's got tomato sauce stains on it and give it a bit of a clean. No, God rips up the carpet and he puts in some brand new carpet. God doesn't go around and just patch up the dents on the wall from you doing cartwheels in your bedroom. No, he doesn't do that. He takes fresh chipboard, he rips down the old panels, and he cuts away, and he puts up new jib, and he plasters, and he puts a fantastic coat of paint on it. And by the time God has finished, that bedroom is better than it was the day it was built. And that's what God does in our lives. God transforms us, he remodels us, he changes us by transforming the way that we think. And he doesn't just change the way we think, he gives us new desires, new things that we want to do. He gives us new love. Now you want to love your annoying brother or sister. Or even if you don't want to, you try to do so. God gives you new goals, and you start to think not only about pleasing yourself, but about how to please God. And God undertakes this transformation project, this remodeling project for everyone who is in Christ. That's what we see there in the words there. Everyone who is in Christ. To be in Christ is what matters. This isn't a do-it-yourself project where you just start busy and clean up your own lives. This is a project that God is doing. God's directing. God is accomplishing. It's also a project that takes time. You don't just wake up one morning and all of a sudden your room is all tidy and totally transformed. You don't just wake up and all of a sudden things have changed in your life altogether. It's a big process. I've got a big word for you as well. You heard the word sanctification before? Yeah, big word, sanctification. What we're doing when we use that word is we're describing that process where God works in us to change us and transform us and renew our lives to make us who we are or who we will be. Today's a very special day as well, not only because it's Cadet and Gem Sunday, but because it's Pentecost Sunday, the day when we remember how God poured out his Holy Spirit on his church, on his new people. And whether we're here this morning, whether we're old, whether we're young, the Holy Spirit is ever so important. You see, only the Spirit can begin this new work in our lives. Only the Spirit can bring our lives to life. Because if you try and fix your own life, let me tell you, you're not going to get very far. It'll be a bit like, you imagine a long ramp in it, and it's on an angle, and there's somebody at the top, and they're pouring oil all over this ramp, and the oil is running down the ramp. And you imagine you're trying to get up that ramp. You're trying to get up there. If that's what you're trying to do, then you're just going to keep slipping backwards, aren't you? Steep ramp and oil all over it. You're never going to get to the top. You're going to end up at the bottom of the ramp. Wherever you start on the ramp, you're going to end up at the bottom. It may take you a long time to get there. Or if you fight really hard, you might take a long time. Or if you just like give up, then you might just slide back in a moment. But our lives aren't to be like that. Our lives aren't to be fighting uphill, trying to get up that slippery slope and just ending up going backwards. Because we need the Holy Spirit to be at work in our lives, beginning that project and giving us the strength to keep going while it's still a work in progress, until it's our last day. The last day on earth, or until Jesus comes back. Jesus Christ transforms us. That's the first thing we see here in our text. But what does that look like? Well, let's look at that some more in a little bit more detail. And there are two other ways in which we can describe that, and they're opposite, so that should be easy to remember. And the first of those other ways of describing this work of Jesus in our lives to change us and transform us is this: the old gets chucked out. Do you think you can remember that? The old gets chucked out. Paul says, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone. It's been chucked out. You know, that's the first part of what being raised to new life in Jesus is all about. You see, before we knew God, we were infected with a very deadly disease. And the Bible calls that disease sin. We were born in sin. We have the pollution, not pollution out in the environment, but pollution in our hearts of sin. And when you suffer from this disease, you can't do anything right to please God. Your motives are wrong, and you desire what you want, that's all up the creek. And you keep doing wrong. It's like you're in the grip of something really strong, like a really strong vice. And you can't do as you please, or rather you always do. You always do as you please. And what we want to do doesn't please God at all. We're like addicts. We're like addicts, drug addicts or alcohol addicts or whatever our addiction might be. We're like addicts, we want to do sin and we want to keep coming back and doing more. And that changes when we believe in Jesus. The old has just gotten pushed to one side. The old has gotten a little bit smaller. That's not what Paul says, is it? He says the old has... old is gone. The old has gone. That's a very strong statement, isn't it? Is that really true, do you think? That the old things in our lives have gone? Not just going, but gone? Well, yes, if we are in Christ, if we're believers in Christ, there has been a turn everything absolutely upside down moment in our lives. It's a bit like that sin is a bit like a bully, and that bully of sin has been, well, sin's like a bully because sin doesn't just make suggestions, it gives orders, doesn't it? It tells us what we're to do. And that former bully of sin has been overthrown by Jesus. A massive change has happened in your life. We read about that in Romans 6 that we read before. For we know that our old self was crucified. That means put to death on the cross with him, with Jesus, so that the body of sin might be done away with, so that we should no longer be slaves to sin. When we believe in Jesus, things have radically changed in our lives. We've got a new master, a new boss, a new person that we're listening to. But I don't know about you, but maybe you're thinking this morning. If the old gets chucked out, perhaps you're thinking, how come it still feels like there's sin in my heart? How come at times, perhaps even often, I've got wrong desires, and at the very same time I want to do what's right, and at the very same time I want to do what's I want to do what's wrong. I both want to do wrong and I don't want to do wrong. If the old's gone, how come it feels like it's still sticking really close by or really close at hand? Have I really been raised a new life in Jesus? That's a question that you might be wondering about. I want to say to you this morning, if that's what you wonder about, if the old's gone, but yet I still want to do sin sometimes, well, that experience is a Christian experience. It's not a sign that you don't believe. It's not a sign like that. If anything, it shows that you've got a tender conscience. That's a sign of belonging to Jesus, that you see the sin in your life and instead of loving it anymore, you hate it. That's a sign that Jesus is working in your life, that you're a work in progress. And the reason that you still experience that struggle is because there's still pockets of resistance in your life from that old bully of sin. Part of my heart wants to fight against the work of Jesus. We don't want to surrender to him as the boss and do what he says. That's why we read before in Romans, another passage there, which means that we need to fight. Look at those words again. Do not let sin reign. Don't let sin be the boss in your body so that you obey what it says, its evil desires. That's a reminder to all of us this morning, whether we're young or whether we're old, whether a gem or a cadet, whether we're anybody else, not to give up on this fight, but to keep on fighting, to keep on chucking out the old and killing sin. I want to ask you this morning, is that what you are trying to do, striving to do? Because we're not there yet, are we? We're still, our lives are still a work in progress. So keep working. Keep working with the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit. But, you know, it's not simply a case of just... You imagine our lives are a little bit like our garden. You know what's in our garden? There's lots of things, lots of weeds. This work of Jesus in our life, changing us and transforming us, isn't just grabbing the weeds, pulling them out and chucking them in a heap and burning them up or whatever like that. It's not just that. It's not just the old life minus the weeds, but it's the planting of a new and beautiful garden. It's not just that the old gets chucked out. That's the final thing we see. The old gets chucked out, and I told you it was going to be an opposite, didn't I? The old gets chucked out and the new takes its place. The old has gone, the new has come. Do you think Paul's really joyful when he says those words, that the new has come? I reckon he is incredibly joyful. He's filled with joy because when he became new in Jesus, then that totally transformed his life. Paul went from hating Jesus and trying to kill Christians to loving Jesus and wanting everyone else to follow him as well. And the weeds of sin got chucked out, and in their place came some new, beautiful, glorious things. Some beautiful, life-giving fruit. Who likes fruit? If I was thinking of like watermelon and pineapple and oranges and mandarin, is your mouth watering? Are those good things? I'm imagining them, and I'm wishing that I could have some of them right now. Pull out the weeds and we get beautiful fruit trees in their place. And that means at least two things for us this morning. That message that the new takes the place of the old comes to us in two ways. It comes first of all as a reality, as what's true. If you believe in Jesus, this is what God is doing in your life. He's working to create in you beautiful Christian character. He's working so that your life might be seen for what it is, as a trophy of his grace. And others can see how God's turning your hot temper into something of the past. Others can see how the love of God is producing love and joy and peace and all those other fruit of the Spirit in the garden of your life. You know, the new fruit trees that God's planting in your life don't grow up overnight. Remember the story of Jack and the beanstalk, and he went to bed one night, and the next morning, what did he have? Boom, the beanstalk was right up to the sky. That's not the sort of fruit tree that God's planting in your life. Not one that you wake up in the morning, and all of a sudden it's reaching up to the clouds. But if you can see some of this newness, some of this new fruit in your life, then you can be really encouraged this morning. Because that means God is busy. He's at work in your life. He started that work. It's a work in progress. He's remaking you, changing you to be more like him. But as well as coming to this as something that's real, something that's true for each of us, it also comes to us in another way as well, as a call or as a challenge, as a call to take up this challenge of the new life, not just to drift along in the Christian life, but to chase after new growth and new life and progress. To put up your hand and say, I want to follow Jesus. And I don't want to only pull out the old weeds of sin in my life and all the bad stuff in my life. I want to plant something new and good and beautiful in their place. I want some new plants in my garden. So I want to fight for joy. I want to fight for self-control. I want to fight to be content with what I have and fight for goodness and love. And I want to grow. Grow in gentleness. Where does it begin? It all begins with knowing Jesus. If you are in Christ, then you have been raised to a new life this morning, and Christ has started this work in progress in your life. Jesus is transforming you. The old's getting chucked out, and the new is taking its place. God's work is in progress. Amen. Let's pray.